Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for another wonderful opportunity to share your precious word. Prepare our hearts to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. I borrowed this message simply because I think it was appropriate for today. I like the title, God is Faithful Even When We Are Not. Aren't you glad he is? Now I'm going to read about a pastor that was very successful. But he has some things to say that I think all of us can identify with. You don't think pastors go through hard times? They do. Everybody does. And he's talking about one of those times in his life that I think that we should listen because it's something we can all identify with. I know about the restraining hand of the Lord. He allows his children to go only so far, but no further. In my early days of ministry, he restrained me when I was ready to quit during times of awful discouragement. At times, I felt overwhelmed by all the financial responsibilities. I felt like a failure, as a husband and a father as well. I would get so low about my overwhelming obligations that I thought my faith would shatter completely. On a few occasions in my life, I was convinced there was no use trying to go on. In those times, I never considered suicide or giving up completely on the Lord, but I was tired of not understanding why my life was filled with so many struggles. Several times I hopped in my car and drove away thinking, that's it. I'm just going to disappear. God will have to take care of this ministry and my family. I can't take it anymore. Sound familiar? One particular time I was driving south from Dallas on my way to Mexico. Thankfully, God was in the back seat. I heard him ask, where are you going? Like Jonah, I answered, I've had it, Lord. I'm going to Mexico. Nobody will know me there. And I can witness freely without all these obligations. I love you and I love my family, but I don't feel like I'm the man of God I should be. The Lord said, turn your car around now before you do something stupid. I kept driving, then I heard him say clearly, now turn around now. If you drive another 5 miles, you're on your own. The fear of God hit me, and it shook me up. And I will never, ever forget that. I wanted God to not take his spirit from me. But that warning was his loving hand restraining me. And so he asks you, how many times have you been on the brink of making a foolish and horrible mistake? Did God's restraining spirit come upon you, telling you, hold it, stop right there? Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. He comes to restrain us and to keep us from doing some destructive things. We're going to look at a man. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel. If you're using the Bible in your pew, it's 3:32. It's in your Bible in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. You want to stand, stretch again a little bit, and then I'll set you back down. Verses 1 through 13. I don't know if this passage says how many. Oh, I thought so. 7 sons. Okay. I was thinking about that. I thought he had 7 sons. This is God wants to anoint a king. He wants to anoint a king. And of course, he sends the prophet to Jesse's place. Verse 16, verse 1. The Lord said to Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I will come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. Thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? He said, peaceably. I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab, said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature. Must have been a big fellow, probably tall like Saul, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Jesse made Shema to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all your children? He said, there remains yet the youngest. Behold, he keeps the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he comes hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look at. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Verse 13 is our key verse. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And it says in the next verse, the Spirit had departed from Saul. You may be seated. So how did God deal with David's unfaithfulness? Samuel anointed David to be king. Samuel took the horn of oil and he anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. David was chosen, special. I believe it's the very reason why Saul hated him. Spirit was with Saul and moved Saul at certain times, but I think it's the very reason why Saul hated him. Certainly didn't do any good when he killed Goliath and everybody sang about David. They didn't do much singing with Saul. So we see the jealousy already starting with Saul. It just continued to escalate. And that's why David found himself on the run, because Saul hated David. He was jealous of him, chased him. But God's Spirit was with him. Saul came after David, and David had to flee. He was on the run. He hid in caves and among rocks, moved from place to place. I believe that David simply probably got tired of the battle. He must have thought, if I'm the Lord's anointed, a man chosen for this hour, why am I in such deep trouble? Why are there so many against me? So David took 400 of his men and he fled to Gath. You know where Gath is? The present day where Israel is fighting. Little strip of territory right along the Mediterranean. They were called Philistines then. Palestinians today. They're fighting even in this very hour I speak, in what was called Gath in that day, the hometown of Goliath, the giant that he had slain. I'm sure that David hadn't sought the Lord about this particular move he made. Hostilities had rose against David in Gath, and the people said, isn't this the man the Israelites sing about? Hasn't he killed thousands of Philistines, and he's the one who killed our giant? And so David was captured and taken to the king. He knew that he was trapped and he was in danger. So he put on an act of insanity. Wow. I call it a time of faithlessness. A time of faithlessness, but God was still faithful. Even though David wasn't in his best form. So he feigned himself as being mad, spittle running down his beard. He hoped that somehow he would be delivered from the clutches of the king by doing such a thing. But what a poor testimony it was before his men, his 400 men, what they must have thought. King Achish looked at David and said, "This man has lost his mind. Get him out of here." Well, what he did worked. It did work. But I believe he acted unfaithfully in this time in his life. You ever do that? Of course you have. You ever make decisions you regret it? Of course you have. You'll do more. We all have made decisions that we regretted having made. There was times in our life I have another message called a lapse of faith. Sometimes we have a little lapse in our life. Sometimes we make wrong choices. But I want you to know that even when you do, God is faithful. He is faithful. Never forget that. He loves you. Maybe like David, we've gone through some kind of what we would consider an insane part of our life. I can tell you this, I wouldn't want to go back and repeat it. I can remember choices I made that I didn't like and realized it was too late to do anything about it. I wouldn't want to go back and relive those times. I'm embarrassed by it. I'm ashamed by it. And I know I disappointed God by it. Have you faced this kind of problems in your life? Did you ever give up? Say, "I can't handle this anymore. I just can't do it anymore." I heard those words this week from a dear parishioner, and it touched me because I know what it's like. I've been there. You acted in accordance to your flesh. And when we do those things, we get ahead of God. We're not with him. We're just get ahead of him. I caught trying to push the envelope, trying to push it, trying to do something that I really didn't check with God. And because I didn't check with God, it didn't go very good either. It was a wrong choice. It was a bad decision. And I know where this individual's coming from. You ended up getting angry at yourself and ashamed and disappointed. I think about so many times in my life the Lord has blessed me. How could I fail him now? But it happens. Will he take his blessing from off of me? If he would do that, it would certainly be no use to him. But like I said, when I fail, God is faithful. When you fail, God is faithful. God will not leave you alone. He will not allow the struggle that's going on in your life to upset his calling or his plan for you. Each and every one of us here today have a plan that God has for us in our life. You were made uniquely different. Look at your finger. Everybody look at your finger. Do you know that that finger is the only one in the world that has that fingerprint? It's the only one in the world. All the people in the world, you're telling me, Pastor, how can they have a different fingerprint? You tell me how. It's amazing. But God has a plan for you because you were uniquely made. Only you. There's only one like you, just like you. Some say we have twins. I've seen some of your twins, But I can tell you their fingerprints not the same as yours. I don't care how close they look. Identical twins, their fingerprints are different, aren't they? Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, isn't that something? It's amazing. I was going to bring my Thanksgiving cactus along today. Anybody of you know what a Thanksgiving cactus is? Only a couple people. Do you know when they bloom? Well, why do you call them a Thanksgiving cactus? Now, that's amazing to me. Who told that cactus to bloom at Thanksgiving every year, huh? It happened with one big bang. Yeah. Okay. Along with your fingerprints, your hairs of your head are numbered. He knows when the sparrows fall on the ground. You're special, and he loves you. Don't you ever forget it. You're special. The whole time that I've thought about these things and the times that I failed, sometimes I blame God for not doing anything. I can remember very clearly blaming him for something I didn't think he was doing. I didn't think he was listening, but he was. And I can tell you that he worked it out perfectly because he was working behind the scenes when I didn't see anything going on. I just thought he was ignoring me, but he wasn't. He was working. He was moving on people's hearts. He was arranging things. He was bringing about the plan that he had in mind all along. And so for me, I had to run back to him and ask him to forgive me over my unfaithfulness. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. If I had just held on for one more day, for just one more day. Because I can tell you, all things started to work and prayers were starting to be answered. If it had just held on one more day. But I got anxious and impatient. And I blame God for not hearing me. But he was hearing me all along. He was listening and he was working on my behalf as he's doing in your behalf. On your behalf. Maybe you feel yourself today like a failure, like just things didn't work out as planned. Let me tell you that God's working on your behalf. He loves you. And even though you don't see anything, God is working it. He is working it. Now I'm going to ask the worship team to come. I'm going to have our prayer time.